Welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Dusty White, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune of Coramdale Church and Pastor Chris Himmelman of First City Church. On Wednesdays, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're discussing the quiet revival.
Some amazing, startling, very good news out of the UK that we will get to in a moment. First of all, thank you, Katrina, for providing a final round of snacks for the Wednesday conversation.
Final round?
Our friend Katrina is moving to Kansas City, but as a last gift to us on this podcast, she dropped off some funny mushrooms, Chris.
Funny mushrooms.
Funny mushrooms. These are a product of Lithuania. They're produced in Lithuania. They are basically,
They're funny mushrooms as in like they're funny.
This isn't not drugs. We're not doing any psychedelics here. This is just a candy. It's like chocolate and it's called mini biscuits. So I don't know. Katrina is just always finding interesting snacks that we've never tried. There's also this other product called Bambuk.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Looks great. Chocolate taste.
Chris, yeah, can you read the package, Chris? It
says chocolate taste.
Chocolate taste. I don't know what that means, but what it means to me is there's not actually any chocolate in here. It just tastes like chocolate.
Maybe artificially flavored.
So thank you, Katrina. We love you. Thank you for helping us celebrate this episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm going to just begin reading from the foreword of this study that's sitting in front of me. This is a little document. You can download it online at the Bible Society UK. Just search Bible Society UK and you'll find it. It's a little study.
It's well put together, by the way. It looks nice.
It's a little 46-page PDF called The Quiet Revival, summarizing a massive study done in the UK just a few months ago. Let me read to you from the foreword. For decades, church attendance and nominal adherence to Christianity has been declining. And it has been assumed that this decline would continue and was, in some sense, an inevitable product of modernity. While the decline has certainly been real, we now know that the trend has been reversed. The results of this thorough and robust study demonstrate that over the space of only 6 years, there has been a significant growth in the numbers of people going to church. Large numbers of young adults, male and female, have started going to church, reading the Bible regularly, practicing prayer, and worshiping Jesus Christ as God. A remarkable new and life-giving phenomenon seems to be underway in Britain. So that's the headline. The findings of this study are nothing short of stunning because it's only a six-year time period. So basically what this group did is they did a study back in 2018, and then they did a similar study in the very end of 2024, November, December of 2024. So I'm going to read you from the research methodology. This is where nerds like me go to begin just to say, okay, what exactly did you guys do to do this study?
I think it's important to note that in 2018, it was a lot of self-reporting, but so is the updated version as well.
The 2018 sample surveyed 19,101 adults in England and Wales. The 2024 sample surveyed 13,146 adults. Both samples give a 1% margin of error at a 99% confidence level, meaning they are highly reliable. Field work for the most recent study was undertaken between 4 November and 2 December 2024. So in only that six-year time frame, let me just read you the high level. The report starts with just 10 key data points, key findings. Let me summarize them for you real quickly. And if you are a listener and you have heard the secularization thesis that, oh, the world's getting more secular, Christianity is on the decline, and so forth, especially think about Western Europe and England and how secular and burned over that part of the world has seemed for many years now. Here's what the study shows. In 2018, just 4% of 18 to 24-year-olds said that they attended church at least monthly. Today, this has risen to 16%, with young men increasing from 4% to 21%. overall, church-going Christians now make up 12% of the population. 12% of adults in England and Wales are attending church monthly, and the key number I want you to hear is that number among young men has increased from 4% to 21%. One in five young men in England and Wales are attending church.
That sounds like a quiet revival.
That's right, a huge deal. That's a game changer. Second, 32% of churchgoers in the age group 18 to 54 are from an ethnic minority. So you're also seeing an increasing diversity in the church. Third key stat, 67% of church-going Christians read the Bible at least weekly outside of church. So this isn't just people showing up in a building. This is people actually taking their faith seriously, reading the scriptures, praying. Fifth key stat, or maybe this is a fourth key stat, the young people in our sample don't just go to church more. They show above average levels of warmth to spirituality and spiritual practice. This group of 18 to 24-year-olds are the most likely to pray regularly, with 40% saying they pray at least monthly. Hey, way to go, 18 to 24-year-olds. Way to lead the church. Mm-hmm. You guys are crushing it out there.
We have daily prayer gatherings here at this church, and as I reflect on that, I do think on Monday is when I lead. Bob, you lead Tuesday. I would say the majority are in their 30s. Yeah.
My group is the majority are in that 18 to 24. I mean, it's amazing to me how many 20 somethings are showing up at prayer. So the authors of this report say, we find that the church is in a period of rapid growth driven by young adults and in particular young men. Both within and outside the church, young adults are more spiritually engaged than any other living generation. So this is a huge bombshell of a study, especially because we're talking about England and Wales. And the way I got my hands on this study was I'm on a text thread with some of my colleagues from the Keller Center who live and work and pastor and minister in the UK. And they all started texting about this the week that it came out and said, hey, have you seen this study? And they were really amazed by it and saying, you know, the way they put it is, I was seeing this in my local church. I didn't know it was across the whole country. Like, they would all say, hey, we've seen a surprising number of younger men showing up, getting baptized, coming to Bible studies. I knew that was happening in our local church. I didn't realize it was happening across the UK. What this survey shows is that it is, in fact, happening across the UK. And I like the title that they gave it, guys, The Quiet Revival, because it's not dramatic. It's not a sort of like what we saw at Asbury University a few years ago, where there's like a dramatic work of the Spirit. It just seems to be suddenly one in five young men are showing up at church.
Yeah, which pushes back on the narrative that we've heard for decades that men, and we've seen the numbers, men leaving the church, men aren't interested in the church. So to see this particular stat happening is super encouraging. And also in my mind, like, raises a number of questions of like what shifted, not just culturally, but has the church, are there ways that these churches have been trying to reach out to young men? Or, you know, so what's kind of behind that at the kind of the human level to cause that uptick?
The very last page of this report is a set of FAQs. And the first FAQ is this just attributable to immigration? Like, they're just saying, you're going to read this report and you're going to think it must not mean that, like, English dudes are going to church. It must be like, you know, some Italians moved here and they were already Catholic and they're going to church or something like that. And the authors point out, in short, no. The church in England and Wales is becoming more diverse, as is Britain as a whole. However, this growth in church going among young people is seen at scale among young white people. So they're saying, hey, this is across all demographics. This is a true stat. And so it's interesting that they realized as they looked at their own data, man, people are going to have a hard time imagining that suddenly there's just a mass revival happening.
It's actually locals.
Yeah, among English young men. What encourages you about this study, Chris, as you think about it?
Yeah, the idea that the, you know, the demise of Christianity, the reports of the demise of Christianity have been greatly exaggerated. That there's this sense of, hey, when Jesus said that the gates of hell will not prevail, he meant it. And so, you know, not to say that there aren't times of decline, but to kind of take that and assume that is forever the trajectory or that's irreversible, I think misses one of the key pieces of our theology, which is that the church is going to continue to advance. The kingdom of God is going to advance. And stories like this just remind us that as much as we, you know, we can hear the discouraging side of it, that it's like, hey, there's no reason to give up hope on this kind of thing. And it's also encouraging to think of these faithful brothers and sisters and pastors who have been laboring in the UK all this time. Yeah. And now to see, hey, that faithful work is bearing fruit.
I think it also shows to me, I mean, again, I'm speculating a little bit here, but just the disenchantment of the world, the flatness of modernity, the fact we've been talking about this for a long time, the fact that, hey, I think the younger generation is less satisfied with just the flatness of the world. There's a longing for transcendence. There's a longing to connect with something beyond themselves. And that seems to be reflected in the data here in the sense that this younger population is obviously looking for something and going to church and reading scripture as a way of engaging God in all of his reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the most encouraging thing to me is that this reminds me of what we've talked about in previous podcasts about young people just looking for some meaning in their life. And I think what would be interesting is to know if this whole thing has skipped a generation, because it's interesting that they're going back to the church. We would say, arguably, that it's because of the gospel and that's going to be the best kind of meaning you'll ever find. But it's also interesting to think about, like, were there grandparents along the way that after they were looking for this meaning, they went like, you know what? Seemed like they found that simple life back in the church. Maybe I should go there.
Interesting question. If you're a listener, I want to read you another stat from this report that should greatly encourage you. 31% of non-churchgoers say they would attend church if invited by a friend or family member. 31%, one third of your friends who don't go to church would be happy to come if you invited them. So, hey, feel free to invite them. That's an amazing stat. The world is mostly open to church attendance.
We got this report before Easter, and in reading that, I just started texting my neighbors. Just because why not? You know, like we've established relationships with these people. Why not just text them and invite them to Easter services?
Well, and as I'm thinking about the demographic data, Dusty, I realize we are not in the UK, but it is interesting to me how cleanly this maps onto our experience here at Coram Deo. On Easter weekend, we baptized 13 people. Four of those were young people, students who have grown up in our church. A couple of them were older adults, but seven of that group was in this 18 to 30 kind of age range. So most of the growth we're seeing in conversion and evangelism is among this population that sort of is reflected in this study. It's that younger demographic. And so it maps onto things we're seeing. And I would say even especially young men, we joke about how we just keep meeting guys who somebody at the gym invited them to church. You know, it's just like, praise the Lord. Somebody's working out next to you and says, hey, you should come to church with me. That's what seems to be happening. Off mic here just a minute ago, Dusty reminded me of an additional factor in this study that we wanted to point out. I'm reading now from page 29 of this little study. One of the most interesting things we saw was that when all other factors are accounted for, non-church-going Christians have significantly worse outcomes on life satisfaction and well-being compared to not only churchgoers, but also to people with no religion. Throughout this report, we see there are notable differences in attitudes, beliefs, and behaviors between active and non-practicing Christians. When we add in life satisfaction and well-being, we add depth to this picture. So what they're saying is the people who have the best mental health and the best life satisfaction are practicing Christians. Mm-hmm. If you are a non-church-going Christian, you have the worst outcomes in mental health and life satisfaction. And if you're a person with no religion, you're in the middle somewhere. So it's interesting that it does not help functionally for you to profess to be a Christian who's not connected to a visible worshiping community.
Yeah.
That is a really important thing, especially in just the trendiness of mental health right now. Mm. And basically the way I read that was, it's really good for your mental health to be a part of a church and to commit to a local community and to Jesus and stay consistent in that and not consider it as a good idea, but just stick it out in great faithfulness.
That stat is interesting to consider. Is there something that happens when there's a disconnect between what you believe and how you're practicing and how you're living your life? Does it create more of a tension than if it was just to say, hey, I'm not going to identify as a Christian, or I'm not going to, you know, consider myself a Christian? And so, I mean, that's probably a whole other podcast episode, but it does speak to the problem maybe of cultural Christianity. Mm-hmm. And maybe in some ways this is the cultural Christianity of the West kind of dying off, and now, you know, what's emerging, maybe not to say that cultural Christianity will ever go away completely, but there's something emerging that seems like practice is more tightly connected to profession. And that's a good thing. We should celebrate that thing.
Absolutely.
It's interesting to answer that with just like, well, yeah, you would probably have a more guilty conscience, right?
Yeah,
like in conversation, if I run into you, Chris, you're a pastor. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, you know? And this study says you shouldn't say that.
It's better off just to, yeah.
In this report, say the authors, we have purposely avoided making predictions for the future. It is clearly impossible to say whether this quiet revival will continue for years or even generations, or whether it will fade into insignificance. However, it is indisputable that right now, after decades of reported decline, the church in England and Wales is growing in numbers, more people are reading the Bible, and the climate is warmer towards faith than it has been for many years. The tide of faith is coming in again, and the church needs to adjust with vision, prayer, and action to a new and strangely hopeful reality. We this year, Dusty, at Coram Deo, are investing in 5 or 6 church planting efforts in England and Wales. And what's interesting is, as I talk to those pastors on the ground, they would report their churches are thriving and like bursting at the seams. They're seeing growth. They're seeing people come to church. It's really fascinating to think that, and some of them are like, I don't know why this is happening. You know, it's sort of like we've been doing the same thing for a while, and suddenly there's no room in the building for people. We're having to talk about raising funds and adding on and planting churches. And so it is really interesting that I think the experiences of leaders on the ground track with this. And for if we think about what do I want to do in North America as I read about what's happening in the UK and Wales, my answer as a local church pastor, Dusty, is to say, I want to invest some money and time in what God's doing there. We want to get behind this quiet revival and help to spur it forward in whatever ways we can. And for us, and I think for the average Christian listening, that should be, man, fund, pray for, invest in local churches in England and Wales who are doing church planting.
Yeah. And I love what they also talk about here is like, what are the implications of these things? Things like prioritizing discipleship and making space for intergenerational, intentional relationships. Just like fundamental groundwork of discipleship. Like just, it's not flashy, but man, it is so important. And over time, it bears such rich fruit. And so that's also a thing, I think that's exciting to see. Hey, what's going on in the UK is just ripe for just some biblical discipleship.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that the tide of Christianity ebbs and flows, right? And in anyone's lifetime, generally speaking, there's going to be moments of sort of real thriving in the church and maybe some moments of attenuation or contraction. I think if you're listening to this podcast and you're a Christian, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be thrilled.
Yeah.
That in the UK, after decades of decline and stagnation, suddenly we're seeing a massive upsurge of interest in the church and the gospel and Jesus Christ. I mean, this is great news for worldwide Christianity. And I think we ought to hope that it speaks of something bigger. That to speak to that paragraph the authors wrote, we ought to hope and pray that this does become a sustained revival and awakening that leads to transformation in the future. It would be great to see a society in England and Wales returning to the authority of Scripture, the reality of the gospel, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. That would be a wonderful thing for global Christianity and for Christians everywhere.
I'm here for it. It would be amazing to just participate, pray for, and watch some of this go down in our lifetime.
in light of what Chris just said, I want to encourage listeners to this podcast in one simple way that you can, besides praying and giving, one simple way you can participate, and that is look for the 18 to 30-year-olds in your church and invest in them. What this report shows, as Chris just mentioned, is that there's a deep need for discipleship. These people are hungry, they're learners, they're energetic, but they want to be mentored, they want to be discipled. They're looking for people to help them understand the Bible and how it fits together and answer their questions about prayer and Christian spirituality. And so the simple thing I want the listeners at Coram Deo to do is just to say, man, when I see a 20-year-old young man sitting in the pew next to me, I want to get to know that guy and have him over for lunch and encourage him in the Lord and make sure he's connected to a gospel community and make sure that he's being discipled, because this is the work that the Spirit of God seems to be doing here is going to be carried forward as the church comes around and says, yes, let's encourage this. Let's get behind this. Let's spur this forward.
That's a good word, Bob, because I think when I see younger people in our church, the way my brain works is, oh yeah, I was young once too, but this is a, this is a different age. You know, it's a totally different world to be 24 right now. You know, obviously that's like, okay, thanks, Captain Obvious. But I mean, like, you know, with the looking for meaning and the looking for purpose in the technological informational age, it's just a way different matrix in which we grew up. And so I think there is intentionality needed there in a new way.
Well, let's celebrate the quiet revival that seems to be happening, especially among young men in the United Kingdom. Let's pray for the Lord to raise up future leaders and pastors and church planters and fathers and husbands and workers for his kingdom. Let's pray, too, for an upsurge of interest among young women. The disparity there is actually pretty interesting. It's 21% of young men and only 12% of young women, so almost 2-to-1 the interest is among men, but that's good news, because men have traditionally been underrepresented in the church. Generally, women outpace men in things like spiritual formation and discipleship. But let's continue to ask the Lord to further this quiet revival, and let's be invested and involved in whatever ways we can for the sake of the flourishing of his kingdom.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, thanks for listening in. And we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.